Today on Talk About That, I invent some weird new products for my merch table and lament the slow death of DVD and CD sales just in time for the strange resurrection of cassettes. Meanwhile, John goes down the rabbit hole of 90s Christian rock, and we remember awful camp games from our days as youth leaders, plus a conversation about confrontational Christianity and whether we're really called to be constantly turning over tables of other people. Today's episode is not sponsored by Low Carb Chocolate. This Valentine's Day, give the gift that says, I know you love chocolate, but I never cared for you. Love is in the air.
It's your weekly dose, Johnny, of everything that's good. It's Talk About That.
Yeah, weekly dose.
I'm trying to think of what medicines you take a weekly dose of.
That's not a thing, is it?
I don't know. It's got to be a strong med to take a weekly dose.
Huh.
Which, guys, that's what we are here at Talk About That, the podcast. I wish we had the in front of something. It's so much more, like, epic to be like, Johnny, the comedian. You know what I'm saying?
Talk About That, the podcast.
The Ohio State University.
Johnny W., the lunchbox.
John Driver, the action figure.
When I started doing comedy, and you have to have merch right away because you're like, you're making nothing, and you're like, if I could sell a T-shirt or a bumper sticker, I could at least like make gas money.
Yeah.
So you see all these other comedians; they have all this merch. It's like a flea market at some of these comedy shows. You're like, I need this.
Right.
And now that I've been doing this long enough, I'm like, I'm so sick of carrying it all around the country with me.
Yeah.
So I try to like negotiate it out of the thing, like with myself. I'm home, like packing, like I don't want to take all that crap all over. So sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I remember one of the ideas I had was for a USB drive with my, because I thought, well, physical media is going away. Even right. Then I knew it. Like, people are having these little USB, like, I'll make a little USB drive that's like just me. Uh-huh. And it's me holding a microphone, but like my head pops off and you plug it in and that's my DVD or that's my special or whatever on the.
Yeah.
And I priced them and they were like $5 each. Whereas CDs and DVDs were like a dollar each.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, maybe we haven't got there yet. And we still haven't. So it's still, physical media is still like hanging on.
Yeah.
But it's going away. Like the pandemic definitely hit fast forward. But anyway, the main thing I wanted to do that I never did was I want like a little Beanie Baby of me. Like a little stuffed Johnny W. doll. And I don't know how many we'd sell.
You had me. You finally said the word. You finally said doll.
Yeah. Like, but you know what I would call it?
What?
A Johnny Snuggle You.
Oh, guys,
would you buy
here.
One for Sadie? That's all I need to know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Does she still sleep with stuffed animals? She's outgrown that.
No.
She sleeps with a volleyball.
She sleeps with a Mickey that we got her. It's like a very vintage Mickey. It's like a, that we got her the very first trip. So it's kind of like a true family keepsake of our Disney World, you know, life that began. I don't know how old she was when she first went, 7 or 8. So it's kind of like, you know, the Mickey's pretty important. As long as I don't think she knows it's always there, we just keep it in the bed. Johnny, I'd leave it there for me.
Well, we don't have dumb stuffed animals anymore. We have our phones. That's our dumb security. That's our security blanket. Yeah.
You know, it's funny about the media changing or the merch because I had a moment of complete procrastinated distraction.
Yeah.
You ever had that moment where like there's a bunch of stuff you need to do?
Uh-huh.
And you just can't.
You don't do anything because the list is overwhelming.
Yeah. I'm like,
so
I don't.
You're like, this is so much stuff to do, I'm going to lay down.
Yeah. Which is a very, well, it's a very.
I don't think you ever get to that point.
I do.
I think you want to relate to the common man right now. But meanwhile, you're probably writing a book in your head right now.
Guys, with
you're
my
like,
left.
I'm just like you guys.
My right hand's holding a microphone. My left hand's typing right now. No, it's like a. I get there. I'll get something done that day, but I did not do the things I should.
Yeah.
Which sounds like Romans 7, Johnny.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. And so the wretched man that I am, mm-hmm. I ended up doing a deep dive. The reason was I met with a friend who's a manager, and he manages a lot of
Baskin-Robbins.
Legacy Christian artists.
Yeah.
So like, I'm talking the biggest of the big in the, you know, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. Like, I'm not going to name them because I don't want to.
You don't want to name drop.
I don't want to name drop. But they're like, wow.
But whoever you're thinking, it's them.
Right, it's them. And so we met and talked about a bunch of stuff and we were hanging out. And it got me thinking about some songs. And so, Johnny, I sat here probably took 30 minutes. My wife hears this, she's going to just be like, you did what with your, you know, because it's going to be a waste of everyone else in the world's time but mine. Like, everyone's going to think this was worthless.
But everybody goes down a nostalgia, you know, rabbit hole sometimes.
But see, it's a shameful, this is where I'm being real. I'm a Christian music kid.
Yeah.
Like, I just was.
Oh, no, totally. Me too.
And I enjoyed it. And so people, like, my daughter will roll her eyes at the things, and she's 13, that yeah. I enjoyed. And it's like, it's okay that I enjoyed that. Now, look.
She'll be ashamed of her childhood, too.
Well, I don't want to be ashamed.
But I'm saying, you look back and go, that was cheesy, or that doesn't hold up, or whatever
but
it
we
is.
But we were listening to MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice and yeah. Aerosmith and all the stuff, too. But yeah. I really ate, slept, and breathed
right.
Christian music. And yeah. then, you know, when I was with, you know, other people, I would listen. I like the songs, Johnny. But
did your mom and dad like outlaw secular music?
No.
They didn't?
No.
See, that I listen to Christian music. So not only did I think I was better than other people for listening to Christian music yeah. versus secular music, I did not have the option. So it wasn't like I could be like, or I could just shop from this store. Like we went to the Lifeway store or whatever, and that was my only world. So I was like, within this world, I like this stuff.
I don't know.
I knew I was aware of it. Like, I would go, like, I worked at the Knoxville Zoo, and I would hear on the radio, so the radio would be playing in the background. So I knew Top 40 would be Casey's Top 40.
Top 40.
And yeah, so I would listen, and okay, MC Hammer, and I knew.
Yeah.
That was out there.
See what I mean? You knew more music than anybody I knew, like all of it.
Well,
so,
a lot of it's retroactive, though. Like, I went back and rediscovered, like, new wave and 80s music
yeah.
after, you know, I became an adult and yeah. I could make choices for myself.
That may be, I don't know, my teen years, it certainly diversified.
Like, oh, wow, the Cars were really good, but I was, like, 22.
right. Well, my mom and dad, if they would have heard something, you know, that was filthy or something, they would have told me to yeah. not listen to that. But there wasn't like some restriction or some, you know, sanction.
Just because something was not a quote Christian artist, it was not automatically.
But
off
I probably
the
table. Was that self-righteous kid that yeah. found. There's two things. The truth is, if I look back at myself,
yeah.
I really did want to be close to God. Like, that's a thing. And that could get unhealthy because I didn't trust in Him. I trusted in what I did to get to Him.
yeah.
You know, so if I wasn't a good boy, you know, kind of thing. So I had that I identified later in life as a, you know, an alternate version of Phariseeism that people miss. But it also had a lot of benefits to it because I really was close to God some. It wasn't because I listened to Christian music, but that was just one of the things. Like, I enjoyed those things, but I enjoyed the music.
I would try to convince my mom that what I was listening to was a Christian song.
Nice.
You know, I'd be like, hey, you remember that verse that says, like, for a man to have long hair, it's a shame to him? She'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, listen to this song about it. It's called Dude Looks Like a Lady. And she'd be like, interesting.
That's, who is this?
It's a new group called Prayerosmith. I think.
Do you remember all of our old ones? Some of y'all. It ain't Guns N' Roses. It's God and Moses.
That's right.
It ain't. What was the second one?
I don't remember it. I can't remember. These are so dumb.
It was.
It ain't Anthrax. It's
passing out
tracks. Do you think, does Sadie know what a gospel tract is?
No. No. Well, maybe.
Thank God.
You know, she did go to a Christian school for a bit.
I'm so glad that she'll never know what a $100 bill tip, and you flip it over and it's actually a, you know what's even more important than money? Dear server, that I just stiffed.
Right. Good luck that when you can't afford your rent yeah. tonight.
Or yeah. the chick tracks. Oh my gosh. Remember those? The ones that were like super, like the world is ending and going to be given over to a cabal of Satanists. Yeah. Everyone was like this dark, you know. They were like little booklets, comic strips.
You mean like that's just what it's like to peruse Facebook now?
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
It's all that done.
Facebook
yeah.
is the chick track.
Yes, all is ending. The world is lost, and yeah. God is not in control, and we're in trouble unless you take action right now. Right,
and you have to be exactly as concerned about this as I am,
right.
Or you're not concerned enough.
Right. Only the real believers yeah. care about all of that. Sadie's actually super. I got to be careful. Like, we've raised her very. To be mindful of, to try to be mindful or figure out what is true Christianity. And so she's actually hypersensitive to what we would consider to be like not a good representation of Christianity.
Yeah.
And so we had this talk the other day, like we realized if you're not being kind, gentle, you know, open to reason, full of mercy, impartial, I mean, I'm quoting scriptures here, then she doesn't, she thinks that's not, it couldn't be Christian if it's not those things.
Yeah.
We just had that realization the day, how she's kind of like, but she'll also then speak against something. We'll go, well, honey, well, we do kind of believe X and X. Like what she's speaking against is the way that something is being, taunted.
Yeah.
You know, in that sort of attitude. So she's like hypersensitive to the disposition of a gracious believer in terms of the way, but we also have to go, well, there are still issues that we land on. We just don't land on the expression of many Christians in the way that they are making that a militant approach, you know.
Everything's not a deal breaker thing. You could be like, this is not my preference, or I don't think this is necessarily the way.
Right.
That I would live my life, but to live in this way of like complete opposition and like militant, violent, rhetoric against something, and that's your entire personality.
Right.
Yeah, I think we've just made that a Christian's personality. When you think of an evangelical Christian today, if you talk to somebody in the world, like they don't picture a pleasant person probably.
No.
You know, and that's our fault. Some of that's our fault. Well, it's just like, well, nobody likes being told that they're wrong, and I get that. There's an offensiveness to the gospel sometimes, but this idea that like we've got to tell the world, it's again that thing of last week where we feel like we're called to be the gatekeepers of heaven,
right?
And that's just how I grew up, thinking that I need to be the guy who tells you, you know, well, you've strayed.
Right.
It's like instead of being like, mind your own house,
yeah,
let God handle the other part, you know.
Well, that I think some of that version in which we lived in before is that the only version of Jesus that kind of gets touted is the version where he turns over the tables.
Yeah.
He turned over the tables. And it's like what we fail to miss is it would be our tables he was overturning if you're going to put yourself in the story.
Yeah, and the fact that it was probably like 1/1,000th of his ministry.
Right.
Yeah, they take that thing as like that was an everyday occurrence. Jesus was constantly just turning over tables.
Right.
You know.
Like it's once during the Passion, right, when he came into the temple.
Yeah.
Right. And you would, again, if you were a believer, if you were a religious person, those were the tables he was overturning, the purity of the way that we worship God and don't add to it. I mean, yes.
Yeah, I saw somebody tweet about it too and said, like, it's okay to be upset and turn over tables if you're also willing to die for those people days later like Jesus did.
Wow.
You know, like, do you still love those people like he did? You know, it's like, we don't. We turn over tables because we hate people.
Right.
We think we're being better than them. And we're like, these people are the worst.
Right.
And I'm the righteous one by turning over the tables. That's not Jesus' mindset at all.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the Pharisee that the table needs to be overturned and has been and does by his grace. I'm also the Pharisee that, like you said, within the same week Jesus gave his life for. And that's the revelation. That's the big thing I always think of, like when I read Psalms, it's hit me hard that I spend a lot of my time asking why about suffering in the world,
mm-hmm.
or why things that I've planned or that I dream of or that I feel gifted to do or even feel called to do, why they don't always succeed in a way that I want them to. And you kind of get into those scriptures. It's like, well, but then you look over and you see someone who doesn't fear the Lord, if you want to use that term, or doesn't, is not even trying, it seems like. They seem to, you know, suddenly have profitable status in all of their endeavors. And you see David going, why did the wicked prosper? Why is it that they prosper? And I think the question of the scriptures, what the gospel does is we miss is we can all go, why do the wicked prosper? And we rarely mean ourselves when we ask the question. If you, the gospel would say, you're right. Why does the wicked prosper? Meaning, why are you alive today?
Yeah. We're using ourselves as this baseline of goodness.
Right.
I don't know, man.
Which is what I wanted to ask you today, Johnny.
Why are you so wicked?
Right. The wickedness and the prosperity together. I'm just struggling.
Something's got to be done about my wickedness and prosperity. It's a deadly combo.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, I made a playlist.
Yeah. Oh, all right, we're back.
90s and early 2000s Christian music.
Yes.
And, or just 90s and the first decade of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Because that was my youth pastor days, too.
Oh, sure.
So there was a lot of it then.
That's just long trips in a van with these playlists.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was some good stuff.
With the Walkman, Discman, that had the anti-jog feature, and then a little plug that's a cassette that goes into the cassette player.
You have like 80 different adapters to make it all work.
You got one kid that's going to be your DJ.
Yeah.
Or if you're a real Christian, you've made a bunch of burns and you've stolen you've music.
Stolen
from the
all
artists.
The music, right. Yeah. Yeah. And I had in there, now I didn't, there's still some classics I haven't put in there.
Yeah.
Like, I was a huge Audio Adrenaline guy. I mean, just huge.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard. Like, I just have an Audio Adrenaline playlist already.
Yeah.
Because there's just, if you just want some good rock music, Johnny, I mean, just good rock music. But, dude, there was like an old artist, and it's crazy. I like just a good pop artist, too. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a theory about this as an amateur songwriter, that I think we're drawn to songs that use the pronoun she.
Okay.
I've told you this before.
Right.
Like, you can find quite a few hits where she is in the chorus.
Right.
And there's just something about that. They're telling a story about her.
Right.
And there's a guy that wrote a song called She's the Reason.
And it What was his name?
Paul Allen.
Paul Allen.
I went and found a couple of Paul Allen songs, and they're really, really good. And he had another hit on the second record. I left the 99 to find you, and or to find the one, and you're the one.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I had not really, I just liked the hook of that song.
But you're right, She Songs, I've got She Songs in my show because of that, because it's like, it's a cliche, and I'm trying to, I don't write parodies anymore. I write songs that kind of are parodies of
the
cliches
genre,
in music.
Right,
So they kind of satirize music itself. And I hate to talk about comedy sometimes, like, it's so deep, because I think we're getting to that era now where comedians think of themselves as like philosophers. There's been a lot that's been
you're
trending
the sages of the generation.
Right, that's been trending on Twitter. Like, we take you on an amusement park inside your own soul and consciousness. And it's like, shut up. I heard your fart jokes. Okay, you're not doing anything. Right. So please, if anyone's listening to this thinking that that's what I do, then I apologize because
Johnny is super shallow, guys.
I'm so lucky to have this job, but I do think like. I got to a point where I was like, I don't really want to do parodies anymore. It's a nightmare royalty-wise part of it. And then it's also just like, it's kind of a weird shortcut in a way. And I was like, I like the idea of other things. The artists that I really am into that do musical comedy, this is what they do. And I kind of like that direction. But I started writing those She songs. I've got one that I was working on, and I can't figure out how to make it for the show, but it's basically like, she's terrible at goodbyes. She's never been good at goodbyes. It's like a country song. And then in the end, it's just like, she says goodbye. And it's like, see ya! Like, it's like, she's actually bad.
That's
she's
good.
Actually bad at goodbyes.
That's good.
I just don't know how to get it, like, ready, but it's going to be something.
Well, She Stupid remains one of the
one
of the best things you've ever done.
She's Stupid, yeah.
And again, I like it because I'm included.
You're in it. You're on it.
I have a big, big part. So, speaking of, that reminded me, I went back and added some Paul Coleman Trio.
Oh, yeah.
Which we opened for them one time.
I saw him I went and saw Steve Taylor and The Perfect Foil open for Jars of Clay. This is like the most 90s thing you could ever say.
Wow, yeah, geez.
But it was in 2006 or 7, maybe? No, it was about 5 years ago, because it was before the pandemic. But anyway, they got back together. Steve Taylor got back together to put like a GoFundMe, and he's my favorite. He's the reason I wanted to be a Christian artist.
Yeah.
Like, he was my favorite, because he just wrote with such a weird satirical eye. And so I loved him, and so he was getting, and I'd never seen him live before, so I was like, oh, he's, 58 or whatever, but let's go see this. And I didn't even stay for Jars. I just watched him. But anyway, Paul Coleman was there, because, they've done a bunch of production and stuff, and he was in, he's written for Jars. I don't know what all they've done, but he was in Newsboys for a while. Like, he's one of the Nashville guys.
Yeah, he was the guitar player.
He's Australian, but he's one of those Nashville guys who's just done a bunch of things. So he knew Steve and helped produce, I think he helped produce that record, maybe, So I just saw him sitting at the bar. I was like, I know that guy. Because we opened for them one time at a Christian bookstore.
Yeah.
The Paul Coleman Trio.
Which we heard them open for Third Day in a big arena.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I was laughing about this, when we heard their name, I figured, because we were raised in Southern gospel stuff, we were like, what the heck? They're bringing some Southern
Paul Coleman Trio.
And when we heard their songs, I mean, it was like just super... Again, very good, clean, simple rock with good melodies, good hooks.
Yeah.
Had good delays on the guitars. It was very. And I remember they had that one song. It's called "Hold Me," and he would say in the show, "No, don't miss the big drum solo in the middle." Because the thing Paul Coleman was known for was like super simple, like nothing.
Yeah.
But layers of simple until it became very. Very kind of rich and replete with these different nuanced elements of the musical experience. Mm-hmm. And so, like, this
John wrote the liner notes for the Paul Coleman Trio CD.
And so, like, when you got to the solo, they got to the end of the bridge and they went back into the chorus. And the solo was like a ding, 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 ding. It was like he literally nothing, you know. And they just, it was such a funny, like, they were making fun of themselves for a simple
song. No, they were funny even in their live show. I remember that they were really funny. And that was an interesting experience doing that, because it was like we were outdoors. It was at a Christian bookstore. These are such weird.
It's like a big Christian bookstore, though.
Yeah, these are weird to even think about, because like now there's no Christian bookstores anymore.
You know, that one still exists.
Does it really?
Cedar Springs.
Christian store.
Yeah, because it was an independent.
Yeah, so they're still hanging on. They're still selling Precious Moments dolls.
But all the family Christian
Thomas
stores.
Thomas Kincaid paintings with scriptures at the bottom of them.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
They're all, the others are almost all gone. And you remember I had a book deal one day that literally was about to go through with the Methodist Publishing House, and that was the day they shut down all the Methodist stores, and they put the deal on permanent hold. Wow. So, yeah, people, I mean, Christian stores going away, and that's what my manager friend was talking about. Like, you used to, like, you had a pipeline, a distribution pipeline, where you could sell hundreds of thousands of units of something, and also back then you weren't streaming, and people have to realize this, albums were bigger than songs. And so there were Christian artists who would sell 500,000 albums.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're spending $10 instead of 99 cents.
To get one song.
And you,
that you heard on
the
radio.
Well, no, but see, guys like me, though, I would ingest the entire album.
Oh, yeah, of course, then. I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, you could sell that record on the strength of one song. And now you really can't get away with that
and
anymore.
Now you have you have fans then coming to your show, because we didn't have as much choice. So I had ingested the entire record. Mm-hmm. I knew every word of every song, and now I liked all these other songs because you saw me on the one off the radio. It was a brilliant model, and you got a diversity of the music. And now it's like, Sadie, when we listen to music, it's one-offs. I mean, she makes a playlist, and we don't listen to the same artist usually twice. It's certainly not in the order that it came out on an album.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird...
So it makes them write differently, too, because they're not writing, like, a theme, necessarily. You hardly see any artist doing, like, I want this album to be about this, the darkness of the soul, or whatever. Like, it's not that. It's, like, hit, and then...
10 singles is what you're shooting for. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very... See, I did that. Do you remember an old band called Hyperstatic Union?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Had a couple hits. It was very grungy, and they had some funk going on. It was just an interesting little dude. I found some old stuff. There was an old group called Church of Rhythm.
Yeah, I remember Church of Rhythm.
You remember Church of Rhythm?
Yeah,
they went on. All the guys I think went on to be in other bands and stuff. But they had a really big radio
hit. They've all been lead singers of Newsboys, probably. It's just a rotating.
Well, it was mid-90s. Like, I would have been in high school.
Yeah,
you know, and then old Lincoln Brewster stuff. It was his first albums where he just went off on the guitar. Like, no one had ever heard anything like it. I don't know. It was a Christian. I can share the playlist with you, Johnny, if you'd like.
Please
I don't
do.
Know. I don't
no,
know if you
please do. I'm fascinated by it. Yeah. I think back to those times. I think, like, how much of that stuff still holds up to me? How much of it would still be enjoyable to listen to? And I've gone back and listened to some old stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me sometimes is, like, when you put them all in this time capsule, and I've seen some of those people now on social media, and I'm friends with some of them. So, like, there's bands that I used to really enjoy, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with that guy on Facebook now. And he's spouting, like, conspiracy theory, QAnon stuff. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I've had
I
some...
I went to that guy's concert.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been... I got to be careful here. There have been people I've worked with that the last 5 years have shifted our...
And maybe they're disappointed in us, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Maybe so.
Yeah, we...
Well, I'm not big enough to be disappointed in, Johnny. That's the good news.
True.
Yeah. The great news about being small is nobody really cares.
Nobody knows and cares.
But there is a... I'm saddened and even grieved, not just by somebody's different viewpoint, but by the realization of how quickly we've all... reach different places because of the things in the world that have happened. Like, wow, we've now gone. How could we be so far apart? For me, it's a lot about there's complaints about tone police. Oh, you just want to be the tone police. You think Christianity is about being nice. And I'm going, I'm really not of the tone police. And legitimately, there were times that Jesus was very corrective. It was usually towards religious people, like me. And I think that we just get the context wrong of his corrective nature. But I do believe there's a part of the gospel that is very much calling you to change. But more importantly, the grace and the ability to change is given through that same gospel. So you can't change on your own because you tried harder or you were mad at other sinners. Like that's the false gospel. So you got to have that dichotomy of how do I change? If I think I can just try harder, then I don't understand the gospel. Mm-hmm. And it'll be disappointing to me, or I'll think I have changed and I'll just be a jerk to everybody. And like, if I see the, you know, and Paul could be harsh, but again, towards the church. And so like when I see harshness as a disposition, not really towards believers even, but just into the ether.
Yeah.
And I don't see a side of that that has, again, a reasonable reaction or a side of that that really builds kingdom principles even outside of, y'all just stop being scared.
Right.
It's like, you know, I'm not sure about that. That I struggle with that. I'm calling that a disposition issue for me.
Yeah.
Not a tone police issue. This is a disposition issue that speaks to something going on of how we view the gospel, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I really could.
Yeah, it's like we, even when I do like some of these men's events, that's like they promote this warrior mentality.
Yeah.
And I do believe we're in a war spiritually, but I just believe that that war is not won in the same way that we win physical war.
Yeah.
So it's like I saw a video a couple of days ago, and it was of a guy who was a teacher of a special needs kid, and the special needs kid could not enjoy recess with the other kids because he couldn't move his limbs. And so this teacher was taking this kid through the obstacle course and helping him on the monkey bars and jumping up and down with him on the trampoline, holding him, cradling him. Wow. This is like a 12-year-old kid, and this man's doing this. And I was like, this definition of biblical manhood, huge quotes, which has come to be defined as a strong defense of my interpretation of Scripture against enemies, both real and imagined.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's become. That's biblical manhood. We got to go to war against right. people who are trying to destroy our belief system. I was like, have a look at this. This is biblical manhood. And I shared that video. And, you know, I really believe that. Like, if we're, and I don't believe it has to be either or. Sometimes there's a time to make a defense.
Sure.
But come on, man. What do we want to be known for?
Yeah.
You know? What is war? What is, like, if you want to go to war against something, go to war against the complacency that makes us forget disabled people or what all of those things. That's what we want to be known for. Instead of like, oh, man, that guy really punked that guy out. You know, he want, like, we want to score these imaginary points against people.
Yeah.
And then they want to score points against us. And even if you think you're right, like I was thinking about that the other day, if I think somebody on the other side ideologically is right, it hurts me so much that I have to, like, give them that. And that shouldn't be. That's the opposite of humility. That's yeah. not how you win.
Yeah. So. Well, it's an upside down kingdom. And so if you win according to the ways that this world wins, it can't be in alignment. It's the Jesus that we espouse today would not have told Peter to put his sword down and would not have put the ear back on Malchus's head to heal him.
Was that guy's name Malchus?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a name.
I think it was Malchus, the servant of the high priest.
Look, I don't know.
Jeez.
That's
Malchus.
What Bible are you reading?
I mean, but he wouldn't have. We would make a new show called Malchus in the Middle. He's like standing between the Pharisees and the. Anyway, that's so funny.
He's holding his ear. He's like, what did you say? That's his whole, his tagline.
Episode one, lend me your ear.
Episode one, what now?
But I mean, like guys, yeah. you got to ask yourself the question, do you really like Jesus? The Jesus of the Bible, of the Gospels.
Right.
And
or is he just a mascot now for your political ideas?
Right. Do you like pick out the...
Both left and right do that, by the way.
Oh, sure they do.
You know, the far left wants to make him like a total socialist.
Right. No morality. Right. No doesn't morality. Care
don't
what you do.
Don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah, doesn't care. Don't go bother changing for me.
Right.
And then the far right wants to make him this guy. Well, you know, he's got guns. He's whatever. It's a craziness, but it's what we do. We make him a mascot instead of saying for what it is.
Right.
I don't know.
And it's a real, like, take... I isolated scriptures that, like, Scripture's so clear that the disciples had, but most of the time, no idea what Jesus was talking about. Yeah. No idea. Like, they would go, what? And he would have to tell them, this is what this meant. And that they were just confused. I mean, he told them point blank, I'm going to die, and they're going to crucify me, and in 3 days, I'm going to be raised up. And they did not get it. When he died, it was like he had said nothing. They just thought it was over. There was no like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen in 3 days. There's no record. It's just complete confusion.
Yeah.
And so like this idea then that we take something where he says something like, I came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. I came not to, you know, bring together, but to divide. Like we take that and it's a mystery. And he's talking about how the gospel, that's that whole thing he said, there is an offensiveness and a divisiveness to it.
Right.
But he literally told them not to bring swords. Like, you know, or when someone said, hey, I have a sword here, he's like, it's enough. Like, most people think he's like, that's, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He obviously wouldn't even let him use him because a guy tried. And he said, put that away. Like, when we take the practical reality of the story and we find the mystery from ancient documents that even the guys standing around him didn't know exactly what he meant because he's God.
Right.
And there's mystery to his sovereignty. And we go, then we make a religion out of this. And I read in a book that a really good lie has 90% of the truth. But what makes it a good lie or a deception is that the other 10% becomes the key fulcrum of the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, when you can go all the way to the garden for this, but a great lie will be filled with truth. But the thing that matters most about it will be the part that is in question. If you want it to be true, then the 90% that's unquestioned will be the thing you focus on.
Right.
You can't focus on the 10% that becomes now the whole hinge upon which all the stuff goes. So if a violent Jesus is the hinge upon which your ideology moves.
Or a Jesus that's totally okay with you just hoarding wealth. That's the big American thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like somehow we've made it okay because we just taken totally like, yeah, we just exegete those scriptures. Like, no, but that's what he meant here. Like, I would you prosper as your soul prospers. So that means this is totally okay.
Right.
And you were like, okay, I don't know about this. What about the part about, well, what that meant was the camel in the eye of the needle, go with me here. And then we start backpedaling when we know that money changes us. We know that it decays. We know that it kills what it touches. And that's why we have to give a bunch of it away.
Right. If you're going to have it.
Right.
He says, those who are rich, do not let your heart be set upon your riches. Like, and those who are rich should be generous.
But we try to just justify, well, look, it's what he meant was, it's like, right. Yeah, I don't, we cherry pick.
You find a way to piecemeal your generosity into a place where, and look, everyone does have to, as it says in Philippians 4, let each one purpose in his heart what he gives, not begrudgingly, but with generosity. So, and you know, whoever sows sparingly, reaps sparingly, and all those things, those are in there, but they're principles.
I think it's a good time to mention the Patreon.
Guys, whoever gives to Patreon sparingly will continue to reap whatever this garbage is that we're recording. But if some of y'all would start sowing generously.
Talk about that podcast.com.
Maybe we'd make a better product.
Our archived episodes, such.
Give and it shall be given, Johnny. Press down, shaken together. I wonder what they were pressing down and shaking together into like a box.
Yeah, what were they making?
Was it like a? I wonder.
Because I always imagine like baking soda vinegar. You know, it's like a big chemical reaction happening, running over.
Yeah,
it's an explosive, or like you shake up a soda. I'm sure youth pastors have used the.
Oh,
you! This can won't be able to contain this.
Watch me! I'm gonna shake it and press it together.
You call up a volunteer from the audience. Come on up here, Jennifer. I want you to open this soda that I've just shaken. A little apprehensive?
You know what
Why
you don't
would
want
that
to?
Be?
I think my point has been made. I never forget that video you sent that they made that spoof promo video.
Yeah.
He was like, look, if you want to help talk to kids, you got to. And he was on his knees to the audience.
Oh, no. He says, sometimes you need to get down on their level like I'm doing with you right now. And he's on the ground. That's one of my favorite videos ever. That's the proof of the internet not being a good like value indicator because it's been seen by like 4,000 people.
Or it's proof that we don't know what's good.
That's true.
There's
that's
the other
true.
Thing.
It could be
maybe the populist mob is better than us, and we sit back as elitists throwing rocks at it. And the truth is, we're just not as good as the rest of the world.
Man.
Have you ever thought of that? That's humility.
I love throwing rocks at elitists.
And we're the elitists.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
It's got to be your rock.
It's got to be your elitists.
Yeah. No, it's very interesting because, but I was going to say, okay, back to the story. It's the thread. It's the through line throughout this entire episode.
Sure.
I thought of an album I wanted, and I could not find it on Apple Music. Because all the rest of these Apple Music, I'd go find it, pull it in the playlist. Could not find it. And this is going to be the nerdiest thing of all.
Yeah.
Do you remember Forefront Records' 10th anniversary birthday album?
Of course.
You can't find it.
We wore it out.
You can't stream it.
Why not?
I don't know.
It was great because it had old tracks, but it had like other tracks that were done by other artists.
Yes.
So, you know, you would hear like somebody doing a DC Talk song, but it was another Forefront artist.
It was
like a
7 Day Jesus did a cover of Big House.
Yeah.
That was better than the original.
Pretty good.
In my opinion.
Really
like,
good.
It was really good. And I found myself wanting that record. So this is when it got stupid.
Oh, no.
So then I went to eBay and I found it. And they were also selling cassettes, Johnny. This is back to your point. You could buy the cassette.
Yeah.
I paid the money and I bought the album and it's being shipped to my house.
So
that I can upload the CD. Although, because my old computer still has a CD drive.
Yeah.
So I should be able to upload it there.
And somewhere.
Add it somehow into Apple Music
somewhere
from there.
Andy DeGarmo got a nickel from Forefront when you did that. He's selling them out of his garage probably.
Dude, I found Bleach. Remember Bleach,
yeah,
the record
of course.
Static?
I loved Bleach.
Remember a band called Luna Halo?
Bleach were like our Weezer.
Yeah.
They were like nerd rock.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I did some old Reliant K. I still like Reliant K. I mean,
Reliant K. Incredible.
Yeah. And obviously I still listen to Switchfoot. You know, it's hard to put them in. There's a few that are already, I don't know. I think that you said at breakfast.
You said it's hard
morning,
to put them in a category of.
It's hard to like add them to this playlist because I already have again a Switchfoot playlist.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's still something that's current for me. You said something, but I still have this analog childhood.
Yeah.
And I think it affects me more than I know. Like, I think that I still, like, I'm working with some social media management.
Well, artists
things.
Are selling cassettes, like, to your point about cassettes. Like,
what?
There are modern artists selling cassettes at shows now because, like, Xennials want physical media. They like the idea of it, and they're buying cassette players to play them.
We're dinosaurs, man.
That's really happening. Like, there's an artist that I've been following because they blew up on TikTok, and they kind of went back to their house. It was a brother and sister duo called Dury, and they're from Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And I found them on TikTok, and I was like, this song is my jam. It's, like, so cool. And they're it's a brother and sister duo. And now they're starting to do shows. So it's, like, a totally reverse-engineered career. Because they, you know, he came from this other, like, indie band that was a totally different style. Then he started making music with his sister. Well, now they're blowing up. And so they're doing shows, and they're selling cassettes. Like, that's part of their merch.
Oh,
and they sold
gosh.
Out. They ordered, like, 1,000 cassettes, and they've already sold them all.
Oh, my gosh. And so, I can't believe 1,000 people have cassette players.
You have to go get one, I guess. Because it's not like old people buying these. This is, like, I'm telling you, it's like an ironic purchase.
Unbelievable.
Because they want that handheld totem.
Why not a
of
CD?
Music, because they're tired of pushing a button. I think it still feels digital. It's still ones and zeros. So, like, a cassette feels... And it does have a different vibe to it, cassettes do. Although I got used to the tape hiss.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely a hiss there. And of course, records have their own kind of.
But you got to wait for
noise.
It to rewind. That's the thing. Even a record player.
I'm telling you, there's something about it.
You can move the needle.
People, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to take, but I'm telling you, for like the past 5 years, I've noticed that artists are selling cassettes. Like these indie artists are like, or you can get the cassette. And I'm like, what are you doing? And it's become like this thing to do.
You know, by the way, what is not available out there?
What's that?
Scarlet Thread.
Especially on Apple Music or iTunes.
Why not?
Why aren't we out there?
And I thought we could probably for free go upload our EP.
Why for free?
We'll sell it.
Let's get our pennies.
No, we're not selling it. We can upload it
for
free.
Let's get our streaming pennies.
And let's see. I wonder.
Put us on Spotify.
Wonder if there's going to be like a 90s, early 2000 resurgence of style. And a little grungy, little rocky, little poppy. You know what I'm saying? Little pop rocky. Huh? Little Johnny. Dude, you had the grunge voice.
I don't know. That's...
You did it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the best voice of... I mean, Johnny, you have one of the best voices.
The voice of a generation.
I mean, people came by the dozens to hear it. And that's a good record. I still stand by it.
Well, let's put it out there and see what happens.
Yeah. Can I put you on that? I'm a little busy right now. But you go figure out.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been really redeeming your time.
Listen, I took one 30-minute window when I was overwhelmed.
There's no way it was 30 minutes.
It might have been an hour.
It feels like 2 hours.
At best. No, I think it was at best an hour.
Just shopping around on eBay was half an hour.
No, I found. I just did, Johnny, it's called Google. It took me straight to
she
it.
She said Google.
Google. Google is one of my Scottish words.
Google.
Yeah.
Well,
your kids are all over the Google.
Well, I want to hear the. You have to bring me a copy of that or send me a copy.
We're now going to burn it.
Well, not burn it, but like, how do you? Because how would you even do it? Because we don't have disk drives.
I wondered. That had to be the day before the protected files.
Yeah.
So surely I can just burn it and rip
it. Send it to me in a Dropbox link or something, because I'd like to hear it. Because I remember that. Remember really liking that record.
There's another old record that I have. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where I got it. I think I ordered it on eBay too, like a couple years back. And it is, it's called Erase, and it's about racism. It was a It was like a compilation of different artists writing songs, but it was hip hop. It was the Goatee record.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I got it was my friend Otto Price was the bass player for DC Talk, and he was one of the producers. He produced a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And he was one of the executive producers of For King and Country when he was at Word.
But I'm saying Otto play for DC Talk in their house band too?
Yeah.
But I'm saying they made a band. That house band made a record called Zilch, and he was in that band too.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I went and got that record because, again, it's funny. I remember where I was. We were listening to it. I remember being on spring break, like in my junior year in Panama City, Florida.
Yeah.
That's which lets
so
you know
powerful.
The Christian kid. We're driving down spring break, and I'm listening to.
Right. But wearing your board shorts.
You know what? I'm not ashamed. I mean, I had so much thing. I need to not
girls
be ashamed.
Girls in one pieces.
It's okay to be a teenager who wanted to please God, and I didn't always. Most of the time, I did not. But like, I just didn't want to go throw my life away. Like, I don't know. I thought he had a good life for me, and I was right.
You were, and you didn't throw your life away because here we are,
guys. If you would have told me 20 years ago that I'd be sitting here doing this award-winning podcast with Johnny W., the famous comedian, I'd have said, you're crazy. You are crazy. We used to always, you want to tell that story, what we used to always say?
What?
We knew we were small. We never thought we were big at stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we always knew, wow, we're not big at this.
Well, nobody, that's the thing. I think we knew that nobody is. It's like, we always knew there were outliers, and then there's just a lot of people, like, making things.
Right.
We just wanted to be one of those people. I mean, I think we wanted to be a big deal, but I think there's also something to, like, we did smell the roses at some point, like, go, this is fun making things too.
Yeah, we did. We came to a place where we enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah.
But we would be, and then we would do youth ministry, and you would always say, like, once we were like 10 years into stuff, you'd go, John, if you'd have told me 10 years ago that we'd be standing here serving pizza to these 35 kids right now, I'd have said, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because
that's
we
what it
still,
is. That's what it is. That's, I don't know. It's I don't know. It's almost weird to want anything more than that, because it's like, that's what, I don't know. It's fun. I want to go back to that, John.
Well, I'm not going to lie.
I want to serve pizza to kids. And those jobs are open, by the way.
They're open.
those jobs are out there.
Yeah, because I've been interviewing for youth pastors.
So do I really want it? Probably not. But it's fun to say.
I will say this. I have been holding down the fort in the youth group and sitting with a few kids just with a guitar. Or I've taken them bowling. I'm taking them to the movies, taking them Chick-fil-A. We get ice cream.
That's the big four. That's
and
huge.
Man, it's what's weird about it is it's still...
Is there any... Are you preaching at all to these kids?
No.
You're like, look, we've done the thing. We've been bowling. We go Chick-fil-A. Then we go back, bowling, well, Chick-fil-A again.
Here,
and, look, I don't know what's going on with these kids. Their lives are falling apart, but
this is the difference.
Full.
This is the difference between 43-year-old John and 23-year-old John.
Okay.
Is that I'm not assuming that their greatest need in life is the wisdom I could spend 45 minutes telling them.
Okay.
Part of that's being a dad to a teenager.
Right.
It's like, wow. And the other thing is they're if they're in my church, I'm already their teaching pastor, so they're hearing me every other week.
Right.
So
you're there, you're present.
I'm just trying to show up. Yeah. And good. I'll read a scripture.
But you don't do like a bowling,
sing a few songs.
You don't be like, look, that 7-10 split is just like our lives.
Come on, guys.
Sometimes
you can't get this without some help.
Sometimes there's a chasm between where you are and where you want to be.
And you did your best. It looked like it should be perfect. You threw it right down the middle.
You did. And sometimes God's going to take that and he's going to, the angle that he's going to come at is going to.
Oh my goodness.
Let's turn in your Bibles.
He's going to reframe
the story of David and Goliath.
Reframe.
Because it's like a.
It's a bowling frame. Some of y'all don't have no grace to spare for yourselves.
Some of y'all, some of y'all act like turkeys.
So speaking of, I took him bowling last week.
Yeah.
Aubrey.
Yeah.
My daughter's best friend. My best friend's child.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't like bowling.
Right.
I kind of talked her into going. Johnny, I've never in all my years of doing this, never. I want you to guess how many strikes she had in the first game.
I don't want to guess.
Could you guess?
I don't like
what
this
would
game.
Be a big deal?
Three strikes.
Three strikes make a turkey. I had to tell them, this is going to be
a
turkey.
Three strikes in a row at the end is a turkey.
No. Three strikes at any point
is a turkey. Three strikes in a row is a turkey.
Aubrey
had
six strikes
out
of 10 frames.
Whoa.
And she doesn't bowl.
She's got a gift.
And she pretty much gutter balled all the other ones.
Oh, so she's...
It was like a...
It's like Mark McGwire. It's either a strikeout or a home run.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
Huh.
She didn't do nearly as good the second game.
Okay.
But it was...
I find that when I play golf, it's like the yips go away because you're just like, whatever.
Yeah,
all your weird mental stuff, and you're like, I'm pretty good at golf. And then it comes back.
Right.
Like by the sixth
hole.
Now
you're trying to be good at golf again.
Yeah.
Because you think you're good at golf.
Right.
This could really work. I could see me actually going and playing every week.
What
I could see me not being embarrassed, and then you just right into the water.
This girl becomes a pro bowler, though, and it's you opened the window to her.
My goodness.
You marched her through.
What if she was a pro bowler who donated all her proceeds to charity? A pro bono pro bowler. Huh?
John?
What if she...
We'll edit that out.
I mean, it was amazing.
I mean,
Johnny, it reminded me like how fun it, like you said, like there's just a purity to it. Like just people hanging out, having fun. I don't know. There's something natural about
it. Or bowling.
Right. They really loved it. It was great.
That's cool.
It was great. So I don't know. But I do play my guitar a little bit.
Did you put on a little 90s Christian rock for me?
Hey, guys.
Let me introduce you to a little group called... Avalon.
No, my poor dog. No, Avalon, which were great.
Didn't you teach them a human video to testify to love? They're going to love it.
Here's the Holy Spirit dove that you make. I still make that dove.
Oh, you got to make that
I'm
dove.
Making it right now. Once it's we're on video.
Well, it's Napoleon Dynamite, too, that dove. Yeah. They took that from Christian human video culture.
Yeah.
The Happy Hands Club.
Yeah. I did, when my daughter got in the car, picked her from school yesterday, I had the 90s playlist going. And I'm not going to lie, I think it put her in a bad mood. Like, she was in a bad mood by the time we got home.
Oh.
So I was like, this didn't work like I wanted it to.
She was like, oh, Dad's...
Dad's a nerd. Yeah. I think it really happened. I think she was like, wow.
Mm.
She was. I think she made a comment like, so this is not the kind of music like that I would be interested in. Or something like that. So I was like, hey, man.
Or anyone cool.
Why don't you give your, And then I get real like, hey, I was cool before you were born. Like, I understand coolness on a level like you can't understand. So
that's the coolest thing you could ever say is, I don't think you understand how cool I am.
I don't think you understand
how cool I think you're getting how cool I am
your mom
right now.
And dad are. And, hey, why don't you call me whenever you can, do your own algebra. But.
Like cool kids.
Don't you call me when you can buy your own car. Yeah. Now that. So also
so
not.
Debt is how you.
Yeah. Shame and debt. Basically, my whole fathering philosophy is wrapped up in convincing my daughter I'm cool, listening to 90s
music. Why don't you go get a credit card in your own name and run that thing up, then tell me about cool. Okay.
Don't you call me whenever.
Don't you go make some purchases to impress people you don't even like. That's when I'll know you grown up.
Yeah. In other news, I don't know a lot about being a father. It's really harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, sorry, John.
But I love my kid.
That's good.
That's good. I'm kind of banking on that. Like, I'm kind of banking on...
I think that's a big part of it.
I'm going to be present, and I'm going to love my kid, unconditionally. So, but I really wish I was giving better advice, because I thought I'd be that guy. I had great advice before being a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I might have great advice for other parents. I'm just saying when you're in it.
Somebody, I read that the other day on Twitter, and it was somebody that was in ministry, and they said, if you go to, what did it say? So they overheard it at a conference. It said, parents of newborns to five-year-olds write books on parenting.
Yeah.
Parents of teenagers write books on prayer.
That's like, really
wow,
good.
That's good.
Yeah, I was on Dadville, you know.
Yeah.
And they have the big question at the end all the time, every episode. So tell us what's your one piece of advice or whatever. Mm. And mine, it really was like a, guys, I think I'd be a fool to give advice. Like, I just.
They were like, that's the wisest thing we ever heard.
You
just broke the algorithm.
I was just like, I just think if I acted like I wasn't lost doing this, that'd be really disingenuous. So what I could say is, man, I want to just try to be present in her life. I mean, that's the best. I mean, I just thought I'd be teaching more, you know?
Yeah.
But you are.
You are teaching.
Oh my goodness, guys.
Every time.
Every time. I mean, there is a lot. And she probably, in her mind, I probably am teaching a lot.
Yeah.
But in my mind, this is like a tenth of what I could say. Like, it's just a lot of restraint. It's just a lot of not saying the things that are supernatural for me as the quote-unquote youth pastor guy to say. And because I don't want to push her into some place, you know, like she's going to have to discover. I'm going to be present for it, and I don't know.
Well, the hope is that she comes back one day and says, you were right. And that's the
Oh, my goodness. Dad, I
remember all that pushback I gave you?
Yeah.
You were so right.
And then she reaches in her pocket, pulls out an Audio Adrenaline cassette, puts it into her Walkman and plays it. And we listen together and with tears. Johnny, that's not ever going to happen.
That's when, and then there's a big, big yard where you can play football too. And you're like, this is the dream.
We do play volleyball in the yard.
That's so a different thing.
Wouldn't call it a big yard.
It's a
yard.
Big, big pit. Isn't that what they call a volleyball?
It's sand? A court. It's a court.
Even the sand one?
We call it sand courts. Yeah.
Okay.
What am I thinking?
I
don't know, hell?
What game are you playing?
Johnny's got a dark side, everybody.
I tell you
Let's
what.
Go play ball in the pit.
Getting this pit out here.
Isn't there a... What is that game that kid broke his leg at the camp that year? I don't think you were there for that.
Slam ball? That's what everybody plays now at camps. Christian
they play spike ball.
Spike ball and...
What's the one with the little wall, the little half wall made to just break your leg in half?
Oh, I don't know.
Shoot.
Volleyball?
Someone's screaming right now. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm still... Johnny and I played Trivial Pursuit.
There's a half wall?
Yeah. You get in it and... Oh, I don't even know. I forget how the game works. Oh, geez.
That sounds awful.
No, they love it. It's like the huge game at all the camps. And then they had one at Sadie's old
Maybe
school.
That's a pit then. They have a pit for sure.
What's the name of that? I don't know. Guys, I'm sorry. Send us your cards and letters. let us know what that game is called.
Just angrily, all caps, tweets at us.
It's going to be a lot of that going on.
Every game I remember is kids running, and they're hosing down last night's leftovers in a baby pool, and kids are running, diving into it, and that's the relay race.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah, we did a lot of that.
What happened?
It was they loved it.
But didn't our pastor Andrew make up a game when it rained one day? They got all the kids, you get all the kids in the gym, and he made up a game where you just like go get a cup of water, dunk it in the bucket of water, and run down and throw it in the kid's face who's sitting in the chair.
Water in the face game.
Water in the face game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kids love it.
Yeah. They literally just run up
except for the water in the face kid.
Just throw water in. Well, no, you got to throw it in everybody's face, I think.
Oh, okay.
You go sit down in the chair and throw it in your face.
Oh, I thought it was one kid. It was just a.
No, that's just
a designated. That's designated waterboarding. Tell us what you know. You know, it's like a.
It said waterboarding sounds like. Waterboarding in Guantanamo Bay sounds like this amazing getaway.
Yeah, if you don't know what it is and you tell somebody from like 1980, I went waterboarding in Guantanamo Bay, they're like, wow.
You come
from money. No, but yeah, you throw the water in the kid, kid after kid, until and then you go, now say the memory verse. And then that's the, you see if he's been programmed properly.
Lord have mercy. There's so much in our past, Johnny.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's good.
Yeah.
But, wow.
It's good that we're here now and we can talk about it.
It is. It is. It's good. Because you could have made a documentary, one of those documentaries about.
Because I probably held the hose and sprayed down the baked beans in the baby food.
Oh, you did.
You know,
Yeah, we did a lot of
I
that.
I wanted it to be real sloppy for the kid diving in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't break a rib.
Remember we used to make them do wrath appeasers? Do you remember that?
No.
That was a Rusty Salyer thing. Wrath appeaser was if you started complaining, they had to like drop on their face in the dirt and like they had to take their hands and legs and be like,
so wait a minute,
have mercy, have mercy.
Just complaining and you grab them?
Like it? No, no, no. You tell them, okay. All right, give me 5 wrath appeasers and I'll give you 50,000 points or whatever.
Oh, I see.
And so it's like what you do with the bullhorn from the tower. No, we don't get down there with the kids, Johnny.
I don't know what's going on.
It's crazy. But just
wrath appeaser sounds very dark.
Yeah,
like,
they get down and they take their fists and their legs and they put them on the ground and say, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy until you tell them they can get up. That was when I was a kid. That was one of the things we did.
Sounds like a doom metal band. We are wrath appeaser. Tremble before us.
It was one of our band names one time, the Floating Axe Heads.
Oh, right.
Remember
Floating
that?
Axe Heads.
Yeah, that would have been.
It's from Judges,
it's
right?
Very biblical.
It is. It's biblical. It's an Old Testament.
It was an Elijah or Elijah story, so I'm going to guess that was going to be Samuel.
Okay.
Or Kings.
All right.
Yeah. God, Johnny.
The Floating Axe Heads.
It could still work.
It could. If this was 1992.
I think, listen, it's all going to come back around. It's all going to come back around. As long as I wear a hat.
Do you want it to come back around?
Maybe. Look, people are buying cassettes again, Johnny. There's hope for anything.
We're on the way back.
There is a market.
Then it goes to 8-tracks.
Yeah. Well, you can still buy records.
People buy vinyl.
Yeah, I see vinyl all the time.
My niece loves vinyl.
Yeah.
And I do think it's something about it, like holding a physical thing and looking at a photo and looking at liner notes. People do like that.
Yeah.
Because what we're getting is really, we consider it a better connection. Oh, I can just tweet at this person and they might tweet me back. But it's like, it's still not the same. It's not what we were meant to have with an artist.
Yeah.
You were meant to like see him in the way he wanted to be seen and the liner notes say what he wanted it to say. And he's thanking people and you're reading the lyrics. But it's not the same as just like, I don't know, we're too close.
Yeah.
We're too close and we're,
We get it too, There's no,
We get to be like, but I know what Channing Tatum is like as a person. Like, no, you don't. Stop thinking that.
Why does it matter?
You don't know. Yeah. Just watch his movies and like the things he made and separate that from the person.
Yeah. We just want you, we want y'all to deal with us too, guys.
Please.
Like,
treat us like you would Channing Tatum.
Yeah. Is it so much to ask?
Come on. Look, we all three of us have 6-packs.
Yeah. I mean,
some of them are
mine's
soda.
In the car in a cooler.
Jeez.
But listener, we really do appreciate the time. We're okay with you knowing us.
This is
what this is about. You know, we all know each other.
We think you have chiseled jaws and attractive features.
Sure.
Not in like a Channing Tatum.
Sure. Through the digital annals of space, there's a good chance that that's the case for you.
Yeah. You have a digital chiseled jaw.
Right. A digital 6-pack.
Yeah.
Like those are the kinds, And you know what? If you want to exercise those muscles even more because you've enjoyed the time you spent with us, what could you do, Johnny?
Well, I've already said they go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com. How many times do you want to promote it, Johnny?
Oh, well, that's what
we're going to be belligerent with people. Look, go
well,
if you want.
You're not supposed to repeat web addresses.
Go to the Patreon if you want.
Right.
We're going to make things, but if you don't want, if you want to help us make things, we appreciate it. We really do.
We understand that we're training you to believe you can receive this for free because we keep doing it regardless of your actions to support us or not.
It's not really a meritocracy.
Right. We know that there's sort of a break in the logical flow, and you might be thinking to yourself, well, I can just keep doing what I'm doing now.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm already getting the milk. Why buy the cow? I don't know. Is that what the expression was? I'm trying to...
And then one day you're like, I'm listening to a couple of cows.
Sorry, that got me.
One day, maybe the cow gets tired of all your crap and stops making podcasts. So just know that that's a possibility.
It's a perfect metaphor. It really is. So, hey, but seriously, though, send us your comments. And sometimes we read those on the air if they're good. Actually, even if they're not, I don't know, we would probably read a critical comment.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But what I don't want is you to make up a critical comment that's not true just so you get on the air. Then we're just, So, but if you have something you want to share that's honest and real and hopefully good, then send it on over. Maybe a question or a topic you want us to talk about. You want to know more about writing or comedy or the creative process or friendship or life or theology or social issues.
Bowling.
Or even politics. Bowling. I coached a girl one time in 6 strikes in a single game.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, anything's possible. But you can just send us those things. All of our emails and other things are there on the website, as well as Johnny's socials. Man, you should check them out. His comedy specials.
Do it.
Dry Bar, Amazon, in a local theater near you.
YouTube.
YouTube.
It's tough to get on YouTube.
It is, but it's so hard. So yeah, go and check out Johnny, and you can check out me as well on Instagram. You know, Johnny, I'm pretty active there right now.
You are active.
So there's stuff we're posting there all the time. So check out other interviews that, that I've done recently on our book, Not So Black and White. If you like the Enneagram, you can go check out Typology with Ian Cron. There's a link there on my website, actually, johndriver.com. You can go find that. You can, if you like Dadville, Babe Barnes, there's an interview there. If you like Jen Hatmaker, For the Love, there's an interview there. Lots of cool stuff. If you like Good Morning America, there's an interview there. Just johndriver.com. You can check it out.
Wow. What a year you've had.
It was a crazy year. And it's over. Yeah, so now,
it's okay.
If you'd have told me last year,
welcome back to Earth,
that I'd be sitting here right now doing this again, I'd have said, yeah, that's probably going to happen. So, hey, guys, we look forward to doing it again next week, though, here on
Talk About That.
Have you ever felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouillier. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.